Good afternoon. Welcome to The Journey 8. I'm your host, Reverend Judy Hosner, and I invite you to sit back and take a few moments to breathe as we share this journey together. And here we are, another Wednesday night, and it is unusually warm here. I think we were 60 today, so I don't know. I kind of was hoping for snow, and we still might get it for Christmas, but we'll see, huh? So Wednesday night, this is The Journey 8, and I'm Reverend Judy Hosner. And as usual, we're going to start out the show with some announcements. And the first one is that, let's see, why do I keep buzzing? there must be flies in my microphone. The first one is about the Bible trivia quizzes. I've kind of been a little bit derelict in my duties. And I didn't update the quiz from last week, but there's still quizzes there. And I'm just wondering if people aren't playing the game because they can't find it or because they don't like multiple choice. I'm not sure which, but we're going to reroute that trivia contest and try and get it on the front page where it's easy for you once you log into PurposeGames.com to find it. Excuse me. I still have a sore throat, believe it or not. I think I'm going for the Guinness Book of Records for sore throats. So anyway, we're going to see if we can reroute it so that when you log on to PurposeGames.com, there'll be an icon either on the front page or somewhere that makes it easier for you to find the Journey 8 quizzes. And we'll see if that works. Anyway, PurposeGames.com. And if you have questions or you want to add something to one of the games, don't be afraid to send me a note at RevJudy@CloserWalkWithYou.com. That's always the website or the email address you can reach me on. And speaking of websites, I don't know about you, but I have decided that websites are definitely something for someone who specializes in that kind of thing, because I gotta tell you, ours is not coming along very well. And because I'm stubborn, and anyone who knows me will attest to that, I have not broken down and asked for professional help. Well, that didn't come out right, did it? I do need professional help, but concerning a website. So I'm going to probably have to give in and spend a few bucks and have someone update this website for me. So when you go there right now, you can see that it's in pieces, but the basic information is there. And that website, of course, is CloserWalkWithYou, all one word together, .com. CloserWalkWithYou.com is the website that we use for posting all of our stuff. All right. The Christmas album, Peace. Peace is finished. It is being mastered and printed. It's a week late, and I apologize for that, but it is done. And I hope you like it. How do you get it? Send me an email, and I'll send it out to you. I'm not going to put it on iTunes. this year as I hope to do because I'm too cheap. And that being said, send me an email and I will give you instructions. Or once the website is up, you can buy it from the website. So peace, my Christmas album for this year. And you might be able to download it directly. I'm trying to figure out how to do that on my website. And I might have to give in and do it with iTunes anyway. But that's my big decision for this week. And it's draining me. So I think there's 10 songs on it this year. And we'll see what you think of it. All right. So we're still asking for help with a friend of mine by the name of Jen, who is going to Mozambique, Africa. She is fulfilling a lifelong dream of doing a missionary trip to Africa. Now, it was postponed from October till January due to some health issues. And we are all praying for her safe return. As you know, Africa is not one of the top 10 places for people to visit, especially with every thing that's going on. She is going. So here's the deal. I have been asking and pleading with people to donate towards her trip. It cost about $3,000 to get to Mozambique, Africa, and back. And most missionaries have to pay their own way to get there. Once she's there, then she'll be fine. But she has to get herself there. So I'm asking you, still, if you would just send $10 if that's all you can afford. And where are you going to send it to? I'm glad you asked. It's called GoFundMe.com. And GoFundMe.com is a big website that everybody uses for yard sales or anybody who needs to raise money. So GoFundMe, GoFundMe, GoFundMe.com. If you punch on the name of Jen, J-E-N, Phipps, P-H-I-P-P-S, you will find her. And she has a little biography that she's written about how she's been dreaming about this trip since she's been 5 years old. Her mother said that when she was five, she actually told her mom she was going to be a missionary in Africa. Wow. Well, that's pretty prophetic. And so on to Africa, she'll be going in January. And I really would like to help her, have you guys help me help her. So if all you got is $5 or $10, send it on. Do something good for the first of the year. GoFundMe.com, Jen Phipps. All right, so here's the deal. Prayer warriors. We've been talking on and off about prayer warriors. And prayer warriors is a group that I'm carrying over from the prior church that I used to attend. A friend of mine and I are putting this group together. And what are prayer warriors, you ask? Well, prayer warriors is going to be a group, or is a group. I've already put some of them together. A group of people who are going to pray during the week for everybody that we get requests from. And how this works is that there will be a website where you will be able to log in. Anyone will be able to log in and put a prayer request, I think. Now, here we go with websites again. If not, it's going to be an email to me, and I will put it on there manually. Either way, I have a group of people who love to pray, and I love to pray. And we're going to take your request, and we're going to pray during the week on it, and we're going to continue to pray until an answer is given. So, for instance, if you tell me that your mother-in-law has the gout and she needs prayers, then we're going to continue to pray until I find out from you that she's feeling better. And if that's a month, that's a month. If it's 6 months, it's 6 months. It doesn't matter. Because God's going to answer that prayer. We know he is. It's just in his time. So when the prayer is answered, then you call me or get in touch with me, and we mark that off as a closed item that God's taking care of it. Okay, so send me a note. Drop me an email. Put something in a bottle and throw it in the ocean. Either way, I will get it eventually. Email address again, RevJudy@closerwalkwithyou.com. Okay, so here's the deal. Many of you, have asked me to, let's see how I want to put this, to be more specific of how you can get a hold of me. Either to speak at a function of yours or to come to your church and speak. Now, here's the deal. I have a church. It's not my church. I belong to a church that I have a lot of obligations to. So it's hard for me to get away on Sundays. If you have a Wednesday service or something like that, that's a possibility. But if you need or want any of my previous shows as a inclusion into a program that you're doing, they are in podcast form on iTunes. So, for instance, if you liked what we were doing on September something this year, you can go to iTunes and they have them all cataloged there. Thanks to my producers on BBS, a great group of guys and gals that take our message and feed it to many outlets, and iTunes is one. The podcasts are free. I don't charge for anything. I haven't figured out how to do that yet. So podcasts are free. And you can download whichever one you want. Use it as long as you give me credit for it. In other words, I don't charge any royalties or anything like that. The programs are not copyrighted, but it'd be nice for you to tell people where you got it from and to have them listen to the program live. And that's that. So you can go to iTunes, I believe. Igloo has feeds and several other outlets, so you can just type in the Journey 8 or my name, either one, and you will be able to get me up and on your program. You should be able to download it on Macs or PCs. All right, so we got the announcements out of the way, and we're going to move on to something else. What shall we do? I'm going to tell you that in 2 weeks, I believe it is, time goes by so fast, and it's true. My mom used to say all the time, the older you get, the faster time goes by. And I'm learning that that is oh so true. It seemed like just yesterday when I was doing New Year's Eve. And look it, it's going to be New Year's Eve again. Woo! All right, on the 17th of this month, I'm going to have a special guest who sounds really interesting. And I'm going to put her bio up on my BBS page. So if you go to bbsradio.com/thejourney8, you'll have my page on BBS. And I'm going to put her information up there for you. We're going to have a great interview. And I'm going to tell you that I am very interested in the book that this lady has written. And I'm hoping that we have a great conversation on the 17th of this month. And that's right before Christmas. And, you know, it is I'm going to say a spiritual book. I'm not sure it's a religious book, but her tap-in to the power of God is quite interesting. So I'm hoping all 12 of you that are my faithful listeners will be on the show, or will listen to the show that night, because I think it's going to be quite interesting. So that's December 17th, and by tomorrow, you should be able to go on to my page at bbsradio.com and find the information for her under the special guest tab, whatever you want to call it. All right. So here we are tonight. Tonight, I thought we would keep in tune with the Advent theme of hope. It was the first candle that was lit this last Sunday, the hope candle. And so we're going to stay in touch with that in an indirect kind of way. Let's see if I can find my scripture reading. And we're going to talk about the untouchables, the forgotten, those people, and see how it goes. Now, here's the deal. I wrote this sermon today, actually, and so I haven't had much time to practice it with you, but we're going to do it anyway. So the scripture reading is found in Luke, Book of Luke, New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, the fourth book, and it is chapter 2, verses 8 through 20. So Luke chapter 2, 8 through 20. Now, as you know, before I read the scripture, there's always this little thing that we've done now ever since the show started, and that is a safety warning. I don't want you looking up Bible passages when you're trying to do five other things. So here it is. And those of you all that are regulars, come on, say it along with me. No bus drivers, crane operators, truck and or tractor drivers, aircraft pilots, train engineers, or anyone with a small bouncy dog in the front seat should divert their attention from their driving to find this passage. Wait until it's safe for you to read this. All others listening, pull out your Bibles, Kindles, Nooks, iPads, iPods, iPhone, Androids, and any other smart or dumb device, and follow along with me. Again, Luke 2, verses 8 through 20, the announcement of the birth of Jesus. Okay, so here we go. Let's see if I can find it on my handy-dandy iPad. And read it off to you. Here we go. Luke chapter 2, verse 8. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. I think I would be too. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign given to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger." Yeah, that's where all kings are born, right? "Suddenly, a great company of heavenly hosts appeared, and the angels praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those whom his favor rests.' When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another," whoa, what was that? No, that's not what they said. "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in a manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what they had told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told." So there, the angel came, gave them some really neat news. They were terrified at first, which I always wondered, how would you feel if, holy mackerel, you know, somebody came flying out of the sky and you know, you were just minding your own business, bright lights and all that stuff. I mean, back then, that kind of thing didn't happen. I mean, it doesn't happen now, but either way, you know, I think I would have been scared too. All right, so Touch the Forgotten is the title of tonight's lesson, and I'm going to talk about the forgotten. Yeah. Have you ever forgotten something that's important? I am really so guilty of this shortcoming. I can't tell you how many times I forget something important. If it's not written down in my book, it will be forgotten, including my own birthday. Yes. All right. There's a story. I found this on the internet, of course. There's a story about a young woman who went away to college in the fall, leaving her plants and her goldfish in the care of her mother. Now, her mother had a tendency to be forgetful. Some of us may know somebody with a brown thumb. This mother had one. So, of course, the plants that the daughter had left behind in the care of her mother died by the end of the month. Didn't take long. The mother dutifully broke the bad news to her. When the young woman called back a week later, the mother confessed that the goldfish died too. So she's not batting too well. Her batting average has really taken a slide. So there was this long pregnant pause on the phone. Then in a fearful voice, the girl asked, "How's Dad?" As we come into the Christmas season, it's easy to forget what's important, like feeding Dad. No, it's just a joke. But seriously, though, we easily get our priorities mixed up this time of year. And the true meaning of Christmas gets lost. I mean, it does get lost. And so we begin to think it's about presents and decorations and parties. But the truth is, the true meaning of Christmas is not found in the wrappings, but in the gift. And I mean the gift, as in Christ. You know who helps us with getting the true meaning of Christmas correct? Charles Schulz. Charlie Brown Christmas. How I love this little movie. You know, this little Christmas show is broadcast faithfully every year. And Charlie Brown, for those of you who have not seen this, here's Charlie Brown. He picks out a lonely tree with only a few branches as the tree for the gang's Christmas party. When he brings the tree back, everyone mocks him for picking out such a lousy tree. I mean, this tree is sad. It bends over. The needles are falling off. It is the last tree you would ever pick as a Christmas tree. So the gang's giving him a hard time, and Charlie Brown, you know, is just getting more depressed and in despair. He tells them, hey, you know what? I don't know the true meaning of Christmas anymore. So at that little cue, his faithful friend Linus steps forward and informs us all about what Christmas is supposed to be. And he says something like the passage that we just read about the shepherds being told by the angels about the birth of Jesus. So this is what Christmas is all about. It's about the gift. It's about God with us, Emmanuel. It's about God coming to touch us. It is the Christmas touch. So, using this passage, let's examine the three stages that describe the shepherd's role in the Christmas story. Here we go. Now, we read this passage and we kind of go through it in a sense of not stopping and thinking about these three stages. The first stage these poor shepherds are going through is derision. Derision is basically scorn. You know, there's a fellowship of the forgettable. More appropriately, they are the marginalized forgotten. They had no status in their culture. Yeah, they were uneducated, smelled lousy, and were considered low class. They were called shepherds. Think about it. They spent their life with a bunch of sheep. Okay? During Jesus' time, being a shepherd was a dead-end job. Like, there were no promotions. You're a shepherd. There's no hope for advancement because where are you going to advance to? Wow. I'm the shepherd on the left side of the flock. Look, there's an opening on the right side of the flock. Ooh, wait, there's an opening in the front of the flock. I guess that would be an advancement. Anyway, they had a little chance of doing anything different. I mean, they were shepherds. Sheep are sheep, right? As a result, you wouldn't want your daughter to marry one. You would want your daughter to marry a little bit better than a shepherd. Okay? So these were the people considered outcasts or misfits. Shepherds had a hard, thankless job. And it was dangerous. It was their responsibility to protect the sheep from robbers and other wild animals. Unfortunately, the robbers sometimes were other shepherds. Oh, look, they have a bigger flock than me. Let's go get some. Anyway, but in the big scheme of things, they were not considered very important. As far as spiritual matters, they were considered unclean. They couldn't participate in feasts and holy days. In regards to society, shepherds were infamous for thievery. Like I said, their biggest thing was looking at somebody else's flock and picking out some goodies. So they were the bottom of the barrel, shall we say. They were not permitted to give testimony in legal proceedings because why? because they were thieves and not very well respected. So their word would not carry much weight. You know, there's a musical called The Child of the Promise. And Michael and Stormy Omartian. O-M-A-R-T-I-A-N. Omartian. And in this play, which is, this musical is really good if you ever get a chance to see it. There's a song called Nothing Ever Happens to a Shepherd. And it captures really what I'm talking about. So there's a song. This song goes like, it's cold outside in this godforsaken place, and we're stuck here with 1,000 sheep. Ah, while life is exciting for everybody else, the highlight of our day is sleep. I'm thinking, it's lonely out here in this isolated job. Our position is without esteem. We're socially challenged. We're society's scourge. We're not exactly every woman's dream. Shepherds have a humble purpose. Of our fate, few people care. Sometimes I wonder if God knows we exist. If he does, he's forgotten where. Nothing ever happens to a shepherd. Life is boring as can be. While exciting things occur all over the world, nothing ever happens to me. Yeah. Loneliness, weariness, boredom, that's pretty much the life of the shepherd. Think about it. Back then, they didn't have iPads, iPods, iPhones. So shepherds were pretty much counting sheep, as I would imagine. And counting sheep makes you sleep, right? So anyway, it was not a big highfalutin job. And remember, the most famous shepherd, King David. That's how he started. That's why he composed all those psalms on his lute, is because when you're sitting there watching sheep, that's about all you can do, really. You know, that's your form of entertainment. Okay, so the second stage is declaration. Now we're going to talk about the announcement. You know, when it comes to the announcement about Jesus, who would you have told if you were there? If, you know, if this was your job, and your job was to announce the birth of the Messiah, who would you contact first? I mean, this is the greatest birth of all times, right? Who would you have contacted if you were God? You know, I'm sure you would be like me. We would seek out, I mean, if it was today, we'd probably seek out one of them beautiful people in Hollywood, you know, and the culture then, you know, going back to that time, our choices would have included like some big religious leader from the temple or a rabbi of the synagogue or some official, maybe even Caesar himself. Let's face it, again, this is like, you know, the big deal. Perhaps they could have even been some city managers or a wealthy merchant. God, in his infinite wisdom, chooses shepherds. I think it's fair to say that the shepherds would not have been expecting this. You know, I can't imagine a group of shepherds sitting around going, Joe, I think we're going to have some big announcement to make. Big, big, important announcement. Yes, yeah, Sam, are you ready for it? I think so. As mentioned before, they were not spiritually minded bunch anyway. After all, their deepest theological discussions were with sheep. Yeah. But this was not a random choice. God sent angels to shepherds. Yeah. So the angels said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring great news, good news of great joy, I was like, if you read in the Bible, just about every time an angel appears to somebody, it's, do not be afraid. Why? Because here's this bright, shiny, overwhelming, huge thing with wings hovering over you. Well, I don't know about you, but I would want to be reassured of not being afraid. So they go on to tell it, you know, shepherds about the birth of Jesus. And, you know, that this is a big deal and they need to drop what they're doing and go find the baby Jesus. Now, there's a... yeah, there's a gentleman by the name of Max Lucado who expresses this whole deal in The Applause of Heaven. And basically, it goes like an ordinary night with ordinary sheep and an ordinary shepherd. And were it not for God who loves to hook an extra on the front of the ordinary, extraordinary, the night would have gone unnoticed. The sheep would have been forgotten, and the shepherds would have slept the night away. Yep, that's about it. But God dances among the common. And that night, he did a waltz. You know, God doesn't hang out with the cream of the crop. Throughout the whole history of Jesus, you find him with prostitutes and people who are not necessarily the top of the popularity chain. You know, God dances among the common. So the black sky explodes with brightness. Think about this. The sheep that have been silent become a chorus of curiosity. They're like, whoa, what's going on? One minute the shepherd was dead asleep. The next minute he's rubbing his eyes and staring into the face of an alien. The night was ordinary no more. Yeah. The angel comes at night. Why do all these things always happen at night? Well, night is dark and lights are best seen when it's dark, when they're most needed. God comes into the common person for the same reason. God often chooses to do his greatest work through people or things normally thought of as weak or unimportant. Again, a shepherd. You know, a shepherd, yeah, big deal. You know, dime a dozen. So, you know, even the disciples were common, everyday people. But people that were going to walk with Christ for 3 years, learn everything from him, be attached to him, were fishermen and so on and so forth. So if you go to the book of 1 Corinthians, which is written by the Apostle Paul, he has a statement that he makes, which goes something like, brothers, think of what you were before you were called. Not many of you were wise. You know, not many were influential. And definitely none of you were of noble birth. But God chooses foolish things of the world to shame the wise. He chooses the weak things of the world to shame the strong. He chose the lowly things of the world and despised things that were not. He wanted to take the last and make it the first. To God, nobodies are somebodies. To God, each one needs to hear the good news. All of us need to hear it, not just the Rockefellers and the Vanderbilts and the so on and so forth. So all of us, God takes nobodies and makes them somebodies. Yeah, I like that. Shoot. Yeah, I get creative sometimes. So here we are, the third stage of the Shepherd's Awareness, devotion. The first names in the guest book belong to the shepherds. When the shepherds got the news about the birth of Jesus, I liked the fact that they did not come casually. They moved on it. Yeah, they hurried. They like put the metal to the pedal. No, that's backwards. Put the pedal to the metal. There you go. One had to act on it immediately, and they became the first guest to this miraculous birth. They were first. The last shall be the first. Something exciting was happening. People were like really jazzed about this. You know, this was network-worthy news. If we had TV back then. But the concept of what we're trying to say is that we need to connect with those who are overlooked. I mean, I believe that the whole story about the shepherds is exactly that. That God took the least person that he should have taken to make this announcement. Shepherds. Yeah, some of the overlooked during that day were shepherds. You know, the truth is, what is being said by this is that God doesn't miss out on everybody. He doesn't categorize people. Oh, these are the goodies. These are the people with money. These are the popular. I will minister to them. I will be God to them. Oops. Shepherd? No. Sorry. God absolutely insists that we reach out to the overlooked. When you are on a mission for God, those of us who are preachers, missionaries, teachers, whatever, the whole crux of what we should be doing is to reach out to the overlooked. The touch, the forgotten, you know. In the book of Matthew it says, for I was hungry and you gave me something to eat, and so on and so forth, you know. And I was in prison and you came to visit me. I tell you the truth, whatever you did for the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me. So let's go forward 2,000 years. Today, if you had to make a list of the overlooked today, here's what my list looks like. Elderly, outcast, homeless, unappreciated and challenged, the untouchables, the addicts, the diseased, those infected with AIDS, those who are convicted felons, those who are battered wives and neglected children, migrant workers. That's kind of the beginning of my list. These are the people that are today's shepherds, shall we say. And these are the ones that we, as God's hands and feet, should be reaching out to. When considering how to honor the overlooked, we usually don't need to look too far. You know? It seems harsh, doesn't it? Yeah. That we banish people, like lepers, let's say, for instance. We banish people like those with AIDS. those who are addicts, those who have an infirmity, the those who are not like us, you know? Yeah. Several years ago when I belonged to a church in Los Angeles, a gentleman by the name of Magic Johnson, for those of you who remember, was visiting our church because a friend of his was being set aside that Sunday as a deacon. So here comes Mr. Johnson into the sanctuary, and you can imagine the stir that occurred, because none of us knew, except for the pastor and a very close number of friends, that he was going to show up. He came to the first service that day, and at the end of it, he was mobbed by trying to get out of the sanctuary. But the interesting thing was, during the service, I stood up at the beginning to do the announcements, which it was my week to do, and a homeless person walks into the sanctuary, and he comes right down the center aisle, and with his backpack and his ratty jeans and his torn t-shirt, face was unshaven and he had quite a distinct odor, walked down to the front and sat down. Now, by contrast, when Magic Johnson entered, everybody wanted to touch him. Everybody wanted to be, you know, everybody wanted his autograph. Nobody jumped up to sit next to the homeless man. I'm watching, and after about 3 awkward minutes, one of our ushers got up from his seat and sat by the man. I was struck, really struck. The message I received in my heart that morning was, you know, if you want to touch Jesus, whom do you touch? You know, whatever you've done for the least of these, you've done also to me. So you don't need to be a Magic Johnson or a whomever, because I'm looking at the least of them, and that's what you should be looking at. That's what Jesus says. God doesn't give preference to any group or class. He could care less that you belong to the Rotary Club or Lions or the Moose or whatever. He doesn't discriminate on the basis of intelligence. Thank God that God doesn't. Yeah, thank God that God. Because if he had to or chose to discriminate based on intelligence, education, wealth, sexual preference, political power, or social standing, well, the majority of us would be out in the cold, wouldn't we? Talking about the top 1%. Yeah. He considers himself a savior of all of us equally. Every one of us. Yeah. So here we go with, you know, the moral of the story. Yeah. Connect with the overlooked. Look for the shepherds in your life. Look for those who are stinky, smelly, whatever. You know? Find those who God would find. Connect with them. Ask God to give you compassion and thankfulness for where you are, because where you are today is not anything to be taken lightly. There are so many people who don't have what you have. And that's the truth. Amen. Yes. You know, I believe truly that if we did what we were supposed to be doing, and I'm speaking we as the church universal, not any one particular church or denomination, but those of us as the church universal. And when I say church universal, I'm including Christians and Hare Krishnas and, you know, Jews and whomever. If we all took the time to touch the overlooked and connect with them, what a great place this would be. Yeah. All right, so next week we're going to continue with Advent. And it is going to be the second candle, which is peace. That's what the Christmas album of mine is named after, the second candle. And I guess you could figure out what the next year's album is going to be called. So tune in, and until then, peace and grace. Thank you for listening to The Journey 8, and please come back and join us again. Remember, be kind in all you do, and the kindness will come back to you. Grace and peace, Judy Hasen.